Good morning, everyone. Whoa, hey, boy, I'm really loud, aren't I? There we go. Keith's got me a little bit better. Good morning, everyone. Good to see all of you here this morning. Welcome to Rockwood United Methodist Church for our Sunday morning worship service. Let's see, a few announcements. We're continuing to have Bible study at Terry and Nora Lee's house, and we will finish the letter of James this week. And we'll probably start 1 Peter this week as well, because we only have one chapter left of James. So everyone's welcome to come out for that. I've guilt-tripped Terry into baking cookies, and so she always has good cookies baked for us. So feel free to come and enjoy. Let me think if there's any other announcements. Trunk or treat will be Thursday, I believe, is Halloween. Is it Thursday? Saturday? Oh, it is Saturday, isn't it? Lord have mercy. This Saturday, Halloween, 6 to 8, out in the front, we will have trunk or treat. And we'll be doing some social distancing type things while still trying to enjoy trunk or treat as best as possible, given, you know, the parameters that we have to abide by and everything. So feel free to bring kids, grandkids, children you find walking down the street, whatever. And if you're a big kid, then feel free to bring yourself. We won't discriminate. And we hope to see everybody there. I don't think there are any other announcements that we have at the moment. Everything's fairly quiet right now, so if everyone would, let us do what? The time does change Sunday, I believe. So time changes Sunday. And that reminded me of something Keith asked me. Next Sunday is also All Saints Sunday. And we can't remember if anyone has passed in our church immediately this year. But if anybody has passed that you know of, that you would like to honor next Sunday, just let Keith know their name. If you happen to have a picture, if you can get it to him and he can put it up on the slideshow for our moment of silence for those who have passed in the last year, that would be appreciated. All right, let us begin our worship service with the chiming of the hour. As you're able to, please stand for our opening hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, which is probably one of the first Protestant hymns that was ever written by Mr. Martin Luther. We will sing verses 1 and 4 today. Please remain standing as we affirm our faith together with the Apostles' Creed traditional version. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. At this time, we like to bring our prayer requests as well as our praises before the body and before the Lord. I have a few praises as well as a few requests. So let's start with the praises. Morgan just informed me this morning that thanks to a combination of prayer and therapy, the left hand? Morgan's able to use the left hand a lot better than before, able to grip and move a little bit. There's still some progress to be done, but that's wonderful. And you also said that you're able to stand. So just not for extended periods. So that's wonderful news, and we praise God for that news. Also, I don't remember if I mentioned it to y'all last Sunday. I'm pretty sure I mentioned it to Bible study, but I thought I would share it. Some of you may know that I'm a mentor over at Rockwood High School, and one of the kids there that is the one that I mentor, he informed me not this past Wednesday but the Wednesday before that he had become a Christian, and that's a wonderful thing, and I'm very thankful for that. And I'm trying to convince him to come here, but he goes to a very small church in Harriman, and that's good. I'm glad that he has a church home, but I'm very thankful for that because he didn't think I knew, but I knew he wasn't doing, you know, the right things and all that. And I'm very thankful. I can tell a huge difference in him. So, then another praise as well as a request. This past week, they thought that they were going to have to put Marianne in hospice care. And they were ready for it. Family came in basically to say goodbye. And then all of a sudden, she started getting better again. So we praise God for that. Marianne has said that she wants to be here for her grandson's graduation from college. And I think that she's doing everything she possibly can to make that happen. So praise God for that. Praise God for her getting better. And it's not one of those, you know, sometimes people get better and then they don't. And usually doctors can tell when that's happening, but it doesn't seem like that's what's happening. It seems like she's actually getting better. So let's continue to pray for her. Yeah, she does have a long way to go. And she is over in Methodist in Oak Ridge, correct? So keep her and the family in your prayers. Laura is in town, and so they were going to stay in Oak Ridge, but the hotel they were in had a bed bug infestation. So they're currently staying over at Marianne's house. And Alan is still in quarantine. He has tested negative for COVID, but he still has to quarantine for a few days. And then an update, I mentioned last Sunday about my mom and stepdad testing positive for COVID-19. They are doing better. My mom said that they've never had it bad per se. They've had a mild case of it. She said it's just been like a bad cold that makes you really tired. I'm very thankful they're doing better, but she's asked for prayers, not just to do better, but also that they can get out and do things, because my mom's kind of a homebody unless she has to be, and then she's not a homebody. She wants to go places. So, and let's see, a few requests. Larry wanted me to ask for prayers. He's watching today online because he came home yesterday, I think it was, and Alice had fallen while he was gone. And when he got home, she was in the floor and his dad was there talking to her because, you know, he couldn't help her up, obviously. But he said that she still has, her arm is still a little bit swollen. So he's opting to stay home today, and he and his father are watching. So keep them in your prayers, if you will. And Arville, his dad, has moved in with them. So pray for them as they work through that adjustment period and trying to figure out how to maneuver things. As we all know, when you have people move in or out, there's an adjustment period. So keep them in your prayers, if you will. I think that's all that I know of. Yes, sir. Okay. Okay, so your brother and your sisters? Okay. Yeah, we don't have to worry about Don. So don't go back there and, you know, carry him out of the door or anything like that. Yeah. So we'll pray for Don's family. A few of them have tested positive for corona. And as Don said, let's continue to pray, especially as we start to head into flu season and all that kind of stuff. And that did remind me, Jonathan informed me, that Christy Kamikawa tested positive as well. And so that's why they're not here today. So I don't know much more than that, other than that she's tested positive. So keep them in your prayers, if you will. Does anyone else have any requests? Yes, Lynette. Lynette's dad, or not dad, I'm sorry, Lynette's uncle, for those of you who don't know, has very similar cancer to what her father passed away from earlier this year. And it's not looking good, as she said. The kind of cancer that he has kind of spider veins out into the brain, and it's doing that. So they're trying to do a little bit of, they're doing radiation, correct? They're gonna try and do some radiation. They said he can't handle more chemo. So pray for him, of course. Pray also for his wife, her Aunt Charlene, because Charlene is her dad's sister, so she's lost her brother this year, and her husband is doing poorly, and her best friend has been diagnosed with cancer, and she's just kind of given up. So Charlene is, you know, having a very rough time, as you can imagine. So I know she would appreciate everyone's prayers. Does anyone else have any requests they'd like to share? Yes, ma'am. All right, November 2nd, Pat's going to have surgery on her knee. So watch out about November 30th, because she'll start kicking people with that brand new knee. So we will keep you in our prayers, Miss Pat. Does anyone else have any requests? Uh-oh, Lily's got one. What is it, sweetie? Where am I going to go? I wasn't planning on going anywhere. I guess I'm going to stay up here. But you know what? We'll pray for everybody who's traveling today. That's a good thing to pray for. Yes, ma'am. Okay. So Jules having a knee replacement first week in November. Maybe y'all be roommates. You'll be operating roommates. Okay. Does anyone else have any requests? Let's, of course, I know it's not this week, but it's getting close. Let's, of course, remember the election is not this week, but the next week. And if nothing else, let's just pray that there will be peace. You know, whatever side of the aisle you fall on, or if you fall in the middle, too many people are acting like they don't have any sense. And that's just very sad to me. So let us pray for peace. And that God's will be done. All right, if there's nothing else, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Thank you, Lord, for this time we can spend together in fellowship with one another and in worship of you. Lord, we invite your spirit to dwell amongst us as we attempt with your help to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, we praise you for so many things. The things that we mentioned today, for people being healed, for people being saved, for people doing better and overcoming. We pray for those who need continued healing, even as they are doing better. We pray that you would be with them, with their doctors and their nurses and their entire treatment team. We pray, Lord, that you would be with the families of those who are sick, those who have passed. We pray that you would provide comfort and strength. Lord, we pray especially for Pat and for Jewel, as they're both having knee replacement surgery, that everything would go well and that it would accomplish what it is intended to accomplish. We also thank you for the good news that Morgan brings us, and we pray that continued healing and continued strength would come from doing the various exercises and physical therapy that need to be done. Lord, we also pray for all those who have tested positive for COVID-19, members of Don's family, and Christy, and my mom and stepdad, and many others. We pray that you would be with them, that you would provide comfort and strength and healing. We pray for those who are working on treatments, trying to understand the virus, trying to understand how to treat it, how to combat it. We especially pray for those who are in very poor communities around the world, because these things affect the poor a lot more than they do those who are a little bit more affluent, just because they don't have proper care, they can't afford proper care, and the situations that they find themselves in don't allow them to have proper nutrition and things such as that. So Lord, we pray for them especially. Lord, we pray also for our nation, especially as we go into election time, the election coming up in roughly a week. We pray that your will would be done, and that at the end of the day that people would remember, whatever our political affiliation may be, we are Americans, and we pray that we would remember that. And for those of us who follow Christ, we pray that you would remind us that before we are anything, we are Christians. May we act as though we truly follow you. Lord, we pray all of these things and so many more in the beautiful and holy name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we pray together the words he taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's see. Let us do our next hymn first. I keep forgetting to ask Wanda to change the order of it, but then I always change it on Sunday. So I'll try and remember to do that this week. But number 714, I Know Whom I Have Believed, verses 1 and 4. And please stand as you are able. Thank you. You may be seated. At this time, we'd like to say a blessing over our tithes and offerings. And I just want to remind everyone, we have offering baskets here and there right at the narthex that you can place your offering in. You can also give online on our Facebook page. There's a link at the very top. And you can drop off or mail in your offering if you would like to do it that way. But however you decide to give your offering, we ask that you would follow the prompting of the Lord and that you would trust him to do the greatest work. Let us say a blessing now over our offerings. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. As we prepare to give back of those blessings, may we be reminded as always that we do not give out of guilt or fear, pride or greed, or any negative reason. Rather, Lord, we give out of love and devotion for you and love for neighbor. May you bless the givers. May you bless the receivers. May all come to know Christ, for it is in his name that we pray. Amen. As you're able to, please stand for the reading of Scripture. Our Scripture today is found in the last book of the books of Moses, Deuteronomy chapter 34, verses 1 through 12. Then Moses climbed Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab to the top of Pisgah, across from Jericho. There the Lord showed him the whole land, from Gilead to Dan, all of Naphtali, the territory of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the Mediterranean Sea, the Negev and the whole region from the Valley of Jericho, the City of Palms, as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to him, "This is the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when I said, 'I will give it to your descendants.' I have let you see it with your eyes, but you will not cross over into it." Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab. And the Lord, as the Lord had said, he buried him in Moab, in the valley opposite Beth Peor. But to this day, no one knows where his grave is. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. The Israelites grieved for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days, until the time of weeping and mourning was over. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his officials and to his whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. This is the word of God to the people of God. Praise be to God. You may be seated. So, something that has always kind of struck me as interesting about the story of Moses' death is that Moses has a grave, but nobody knows where it is. There's not a shrine. There's not a marker. There's nothing like that. And it's interesting to me because there are a few different churches in the world that claim to be the burial site of particular famous apostles. There is at least, I think, two that claim to be where the tomb that Jesus was laid in were. One is a little more popular and a little more accepted than the other. But still, it's contested. But they have these churches. But there's nowhere for Moses. All we know is that it's somewhere right over there, right across from the promised land. And I wonder to myself, why is that? You know, why is someone as important as Moses, why don't we know where he's buried? I think studying church history that I figured out why we don't know where Moses is buried. Human beings tend towards idolatry. And maybe not in the sense of actual idolatry, meaning that we know we're committing idolatry, we're intentionally committing it. But oftentimes, human beings tend towards idolatry in the sense of what we can see is what we worship, what we pay homage to. You know, there's a joke that's not far from the truth, but there's a joke that there's enough finger bones of St. Peter to build an entire skeleton of St. Peter 30 times over. In the Middle Ages, relics were a big deal. And the idea was you could get a relic and this relic would provide protection for you, or it would bring about better healing, or, you know, these types of things. There's enough pieces of the true cross, supposedly, to, you know, build a cross that couldn't fit on the earth. We as human beings, either intentionally or unintentionally, worship things that we consider holy. You know, if you think about one of the best movies that has ever been made, and nobody can refute that, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. In Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, what are they looking for? The Holy Grail, right? Because the Holy Grail is supposed to heal all wounds and give you eternal life if you drink from it. In Raiders of the Lost Ark, another one of the greatest movies ever made, what are they looking for there? The Lost Ark of the Covenant. And when the Nazis in the movie find it, they lift up the lid, and what's in there? The wrath of God, essentially, right? The insinuation is that God is in the ark. The insinuation is that eternal life comes through the grail. But Scripture said God is not in the ark. God dwells amongst his people where the ark is. But he's not in the ark. Eternal life is not through the Holy Grail. Eternal life is through Christ. But, you know, sometimes it's easier to look at what we can see and worship that and see that as important and put faith in that. And I think that part of that is just because we can control those things. The problem, or the reason I think for idolatry is that at the end of the day, we can control idols. If we don't like the idols, just throw them in the closet, something like that. We don't like the idea of a God we can't control. But another thing that's interesting in the death of Moses is this. Moses, through the power of God, freed the Israelites from Egypt. And he wandered in the desert for 40 years with them. All the time searching for the promised land. And then at the very end there, God takes him and he says, there's the promised land. He shows him the entire promised land. And he says, but you don't get to go there, Moses. I'm going to bury you. And notice God buries him. That's a pretty big honor if you think about it. But God buries him. He says, I'm going to bury you. Nobody's going to know where you are except for you and I. But you don't get to go into the promised land. That's for the next generation. You know, when you're young, you don't think about things like mortality, right? You don't think about the next life, really, except maybe as an abstract concept. One of the things that I've noticed just recently is that when I was a teenager or younger, I would do all kinds of ridiculous things. The last time that I went and visited my mom, we went over to my hometown. My mom doesn't live there anymore. And we drove by this church that I was a youth group. I was a member of their youth group for a while. And the church kind of sits up on a hill in the middle of downtown McDonough, which isn't as impressive as it sounds, I promise you. And on the side of the church is a set of steps that go into kind of like a back door of the church kind of thing. And at youth group, we would climb up the steps onto the railing, that's a concrete kind of banister, and we would jump off the railing and see who could jump out the farthest before you landed, and then you kind of rolled down the hill. And the thing was, there was a slight wall, and on the other side of the wall was a drop, the sidewalk, and the road. And I saw that this last time. And I said, boy, I remember jumping off of that thing and rolling down the hill, and boy, what an idiot I was. I'd never do that again in my life. But it's funny, when I was a teenager, what's going to happen to me? I'm not even going to break a bone, right? I never did, thankfully, but now I'm thinking, Lord, sometimes I'm afraid to go down the steps. I might fall down them, right? That's, and as you get older, I think you get wiser, which makes you more cautious. Some of us never quite do that, but for the most part, as you get older, you get wiser and you get more cautious. And then I think you get to an age eventually where you're wiser, but you just don't care, And you're like, whatever. I used to be able to do this when I was 20, 30. Just because I'm 98 doesn't mean I can't do it again, right? As you start to go on in life, things change. Priorities change. Dreams change. You start to realize that some of the things that you wanted to do in life, you're not going to do. Sometimes because you can't, sometimes just because it's impossible, sometimes because you realize that was a silly dream. And Hollywood and all makes it like there's no such thing as a silly dream. There are such things as silly dreams. Let's be honest. When I was younger, I wanted to be a superhero when I grew up. That's a silly dream, right? I would pray for superpowers. I would pray that God would give me superpowers. Then my cousin and I got this great idea. We realized that you shouldn't pray for yourself. That's selfish. You should pray for others. So we pray for each other to get superpowers, right? because that's, you know, God's not that bright, right? You know, that's what you think. And pull one over on him. Now that I'm older, I'm like, it's a silly dream, right? It doesn't mean it's an invalid dream. Dreams serve more than one purpose. Sometimes dreams just get us through difficult times. But as you get older, things change. Your priorities change. Your desires change. The beauty of God is that God doesn't change. Not in any fundamental way. Yeah, sometimes Scripture says God changes his mind and things like that, but when we say God doesn't change, we mean that his character doesn't change and his being doesn't change, his existence. Moses led the people for 40 years through some very difficult times. Moses is revered as the greatest prophet in all of Israel. In Christianity, he's still in the top three. In Islam, Moses is still held in high esteem. Moses is a big deal. But Moses is buried in an unmarked grave. Not because he's not important, but because he's very important. We read at the end here that Joshua is the new leader of the Israelites. And the next book in the Bible is the book of Joshua, which tells about how Joshua led the Israelites in conquering a good portion of the Holy Land. But you know, Joshua winds up passing away too. Then we have the judges, and the judges do various things, but they wind up passing away. David, the greatest king in all of Israel, he winds up passing away. Solomon, the wisest king in all of Israel, he winds up passing away. Then we have a group of good and not so good kings, and really bad kings and queens, and they all pass away. Now, for those of you who may know, Judas Maccabeus comes up in what we call the intertestamental period. And he leads a revolution against the Greek people. He cleanses the temple again because they sacrifice a pig on the altar in the temple. And he comes, Judas Maccabeus, which means Judas the Hammer. He comes in, he and his family. They restore Israel, but they pass away. And then eventually the Messiah comes, the one we've been waiting for, the one we've been hoping for. And then he passes away horribly. He dies a horrible death. And if that's where it ends, Paul says, what hope do we have? We don't have any hope. If Jesus was just a good teacher who said nice things, so what? Buddha was a good teacher who said nice things. Confucius was a good teacher who said nice things. There have been lots of good teachers who say nice things, right? But Jesus is resurrected and lives forever because he is God. And that reminds us that life goes on. Sometimes we don't accomplish our goals. Sometimes it doesn't seem like our goals will ever get accomplished. Sometimes it seems like all we did our whole life was fail. But God is eternal. It's funny, I've done a lot of studying of lots of different religions and such, and a lot of religions that are what they call polytheistic, meaning they have many gods, their gods can die. For instance, one of my favorite pantheons, the Norse pantheon, with people like Thor and Odin and all of them, Thor and Odin and the vast majority of the gods die at Ragnarok, which is their, basically their end of the world. They die valiantly, they die with honor, but they die. But Christ will never die. He is the one who lived and died and lives now forever. He is God. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you. As Mother Teresa says, and I'll paraphrase, you may build a building and tomorrow someone come and knock it down. Build anyway. Do the work that you feel that God has called you to do. Do the work whether or not you think that it's accomplishing anything. Moses led the people out of bondage. Joshua led the people in to the promised land. Jesus frees us from bondage, redeems us and restores us, and promises that he will return to restore all things. That's why we don't have a grave for Moses. Because Moses was just a man. He was a good man. He was a powerful man. He did lots of wonderful things. He had his faults too. But he was just a man. We don't need a grave to worship Moses at. Because the one we worship conquered even the grave. And that is our hope. That is our joy. That is why we do all that we do. That is the gospel. And it is worth everything. And then more. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Help us, Lord, to remember that it's okay to have people we look up to. It's okay to have people that we idolize in not the blasphemous sense of the word. It's okay to have mentors. It's okay to have people that we want to emulate. It's okay to learn from others. But Lord, also help us to remember our hope is in Christ, who is eternal, who even death could not conquer. Help us, Lord, to live lives of resurrection power, knowing that Christ is with us always. Amen. And now, brothers and sisters, receive the benediction. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, may you be blessed with all the blessings of heaven. May you take those blessings and share them with all you encounter. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are dismissed. Go in peace.